Good morning, everybody. So we've heard the parable of the prodigal son many times, and I feel, and I don't know if you feel the same as well, but I feel that Jesus left the parable wide open. So for example, did the older son join in the celebration? Did the older son finally see the father's point of view? Did the two brothers reconcile? What kind of a son was the younger son once he got back? So I think, like a good movie or a novel, this parable cries out for a sequence. Now, whereas the parable is left open-ended, the introduction to the parable is very clear. In fact, I'm going to argue that the introduction to the parable is as important as the parable itself. Luke introduces the parable in these words. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So, to them, very important. So, to them, Jesus addressed this parable. So Luke tells us Jesus' target audience, the Pharisees and the scribes. The problem he was trying to address, the complaint of the Pharisees and the scribes that Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners, and the problem itself. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing to listen to Jesus. So I believe that Luke's introduction is an invitation to understand this parable more than as a lesson of personal conversion or even of God's unending compassion and forgiveness. There is more to the story than a story of personal conversion, is what I'm trying to say. So join me today in reflecting on this parable from a less explored perspective, reimagining community. Reimagining community. So I have 3 points for you about this, and it is possible that some of you are going to disagree with me on my points, but if you do disagree, please do it respectfully. So first, let's talk about reimagining community. The Pharisees and the scribes began to complain. Their complaint was that tax collectors and sinners, those who thus far were unincluded, tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to listen to Jesus. Now, for the Pharisees and scribes, this meant 2 things. First, it was a sign that Jesus was not from God. Second, Jesus' modus operandi would make them reimagine community. Thus far, there was a clear line between sinners and righteous people. It scared the Pharisees to think that the lines that separated people were going to be redrawn or perhaps taken away. So they began to complain. Folks, imagining community, what does a parish community look like? What does a city look like? What does our nation look like, right? Imagining community has been a perpetual global, national, and ecclesial issue. Unfortunately, history tells us that there were clear lines of who belonged and who did not belong. Cities and neighborhoods, churches and places of worship, highways and railway lines, shopping centers and banks, electoral districts and political candidates were planned and created based on ethnic, racial and even religious lines. And the tragedy is that the history of systemic segregation and the politics, economics, and ecclesiology of separation continue even today. So this week, think about Jesus redrawing the lines of Judaic society of his time. This has major implications. Christ was killed because he redrew the lines of Judaic society. And so because Jesus redrew those lines, the same implications hold for our times. There are two possibilities. That either we join hands with Jesus, or in fear, dig in to keep intact the lines of separation and segregation. Second point, I want to talk about becoming a listening church. There is a quote from the early days of Pope Francis's papacy that drew great appreciation from some folks and stringent criticism from others. He said, "The thing that the church needs most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity." And this was the signature image that Pope Francis drew. He says, "I see the church as a field hospital after battle. Heal the wounds. Heal the wounds." So I want to share a recent experience I had with a teenager whose parents encouraged him to talk to me. And the reason that they asked him to talk to me was because they thought that I would be a little more understanding. This young man, this teenager, had questions about his sexuality and his sexual orientation. And believe me, there was not an ounce of rebellion in him or any peer pressure. He was not doing this because it was a fad. In fact, he cried. He cried through most of the conversation. I learned through him that when young people struggle with sexuality, sexual or gender orientation issues, the first place they avoid is the church. It should be the opposite, isn't it? These are our children. Immaterial of what they struggle or what they finally decide for themselves, we need to embrace them. These are our children. The church should be the first place that these young men and women turn toward. But as Pope Francis also says, the church is often looked at upon as a museum for saints. At a recent town hall meeting on the preparation for Synod 2023, one of the questions asked was, "Whose voice is not heard in the church?" The answer was, and this is not the answer of the priests, this is the answer of people in the pews. These are people who met. It was the largest gathering in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati. And the answer was, "The church doesn't listen to the young, the LGBTQ, women, the disabled, the homebound, the divorced." Even today, how many people who are divorced stay away from the church because they feel unwelcome? Lay workers in the parish, the nuns, the ones, N-O-N-E-S, those who are now out of any organized religion for that matter. People of color, different cultures, different language, the abused. The follow-up question was, what prevents people from speaking up? And the main answer was fear. Fear of being ostracized, criticized, ignored, and losing relationships. The other answers were a general feeling of distrust and an exclusionary culture. Folks, there is a lesson for us in the parable of the lost son and a lesson for us in the synod sessions. Like Jesus, our church and parishes must be places where those who are excluded feel welcome to come to Jesus. You, listen, may there not be a single person who, because of you, feels that they are not welcome to come to Jesus. That is a sin. I'm suggesting let us not just redraw the lines, let us take away those lines that are keeping people away from the church and from one another. And finally, my third point, I want to talk about the parable of the lost son and the families of parishes. These days, we are redrawing the lines of yet another reality in our lives, our parishes. The latest data on declining church membership, declining sacramental life, and declining priests has made the archdiocese adopt the families of parishes concept of reorganizing the archdiocese and parishes. Folks, I have now lived in this neighborhood for 22 years, and I've lived in this parish for 22 years. And I've talked to parishioners from every parish in this community. And there is one sentence I've heard from some people in every parish, no matter what parish you go to. They say, "You will not catch me going across the tracks." I've heard people from Immaculate, from Ascension, from St. Helen, from St. Anthony. I have heard from every parish, at least some people saying this sentence, "I will not go across the tracks." We're all so similar. And we're all Catholic. Yet we have drawn our lines and treated others as aliens. And now the lines are being redrawn. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So let me be clear. I understand the real fears, and I have fears too. I have had one parish at one point, then two, then three, and now five, plus the Hispanic community. I am afraid too. The fear of losing identity, the fear of losing history, the fear of losing traditions, and the sense of community. I understand. But these are also opportunities to create shared identities, create new histories, create new traditions, forge new communities, to move from being a maintenance church to a vibrant missionary church. So Catholics in Dayton stand at a critical juncture, Cincinnati as well. Just in case the Archbishop is listening to my homily. Catholics in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati stand at a critical juncture. We have the opportunity to recreate history and redraw the lines that are inclusive, welcoming, and affirming. This is that moment in history when we can do that. In the coming months, we will establish many parish groups to come together to talk, to discuss, to listen, and become the kind of community that Jesus attempted to create. The kind of church that builds the kingdom of God rather than the domain of man. And I can say this to the five parishes and six communities where I'm going to be the pastor. Everybody is going to be welcome. So let me conclude by saying that we should not lose sight of the fact that the parable of the lost son is still a parable of conversion and a parable of God's reconciling love. Yes, it still is a parable. There is a parable too, not just the introduction, right? It's still a parable of conversion and God's love. if we need to individually and personally repent for the times we have been exclusive, inward looking, and segregating, let us come to God in sorrow. Let our repentance also lead us to resolve to join hands with Jesus in building the kingdom of God. People of God said,